Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thank you, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. Intercessory prayer. Over the last two episodes, we've introduced you to an intercessory prayer warrior in Reese Howells, and we've described the important features of intercession that make it different than the other kinds of prayer mentioned in the Bible. Today, we get practical, and we talk about some keys to intercessory prayer that make it really powerful. So how do you fare when it comes to intercession? How about your congregation? I hope today's topic helps you see some practical ways you can enhance your church's prayer effort. So given these general ideas about intercessory prayer, let's see what Scripture teaches us about consistent and effective intercessory prayer. And there's several points we're going to go through. I'm going to move fairly quickly because we're going to do something a little different today. We're actually going to pray today in our cluster time instead of dialoguing about the message. And I want to make sure we have plenty of time to do that. So first principle we see is we're looking at these keys to intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer begins with personal and corporate confession and repentance. It is inappropriate for us to think that God is going to bless us and answer our prayers if our relationship with Him or our relationship with each other is broken. And so the first thing that we have to do is we have to come before Him in repentance and ask for His forgiveness. And this takes humility. You cannot fake humility with God. You might be able to put on a false humility with other people, but God sees the heart. He knows where you really are. You can't fake this. And the only way to have real humility before God is through confession and repentance, is to truly be humbled about the things that we have done and what we need forgiveness for. Isaiah, in Isaiah 58, verses 1 through the beginning of chapter 59, this whole section, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to His people about their bad habits with respect to praying and fasting. In fact, God at one point in that passage says to the people through His prophet, He says, "Do you think this is the kind of fasting that I want?" And clearly the answer is no, that's not what He's looking for. And then He goes through and he talks about the kind of fasting and prayer that He wants. And so Isaiah here as the prophet is calling the people to corporate confession and repentance. But even Daniel, the prophet Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel goes before the Lord. Now, if ever there was somebody in the Old Testament story who was as close to sinless as you could get, at least by what we know of him in the book, it would probably be Daniel. Daniel, he was a sinner like everybody else, but Daniel, he behaved himself pretty good. At least by the record we have in the Scripture tells us he behaved himself pretty good. But Daniel now, who had no real reason for confession of his own, at least that we know, when he prays in Daniel chapter 9 on behalf of the nation, he goes to intercede for the nation, guess how he starts? He confesses the sin, his sin, the sin of his fathers, the sin of his nation. He gets all that out up front before he begins to intercede. Because you've got to get the relationship with God right first. Intercessory prayer is the result of both human and divine effort. Both the Holy Spirit and God's people have a part to play in this. And our participation in intercessory prayer doesn't end just because we don't know what to pray. And so the Holy Spirit often will begin our intercessory prayer in that spot. How many times, just in the last week or last month, with everything going on with COVID and the uprisings around in various cities, the call to defund the police, all that difference, how many times have you gone exasperated to our Heavenly Father, not really knowing what to pray? I've lost count how many times I've felt that way. You know, looking at the division between so many different ethnicities in our nation that's supposed to be brought together, and then you begin to see that the divisions of it between ethnicities is also in the church to some extent. And we have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel like that little kid. It's broken. Can you fix it? I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. And Paul says here, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So when you and I don't know how to pray, we can trust, if we go to the Holy Spirit and say, hey, you got to pick up the slack here, that the Holy Spirit knows the heart of God, the Holy Spirit knows the will of God, and can guide, even though we don't have words to say, can guide us in praying and interceding according to the will of God. Intercessory prayer is so important that it is now the primary work of Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Do you realize that? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us this, that therefore he, Jesus, is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Guess who the there is? We is it. Those who have come to Christ and are faithful to him, Jesus intercedes for us continuously. How'd you like to be at that prayer meeting? Intercessory prayer is more about the Lord's plans and understanding than our own. Remember that intercessory prayer is not about what we want. It is about the will of God. It's looking for the will of God to be completed in the life of people or individuals. And so here we look to Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7, and Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. This Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. Listen to what David says all those years before Jesus even came on the scene. The Holy Spirit inspires this song to come from King David. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong, for like grass they will soon fade away. Like spring flowers they will soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Listen to this. This is not us demanding our way. What he's saying is, no. We don't have to sit there and plead what we want, plead the desires of our heart. What he says is, no, you spend your time delighting in the Lord. He already knows what your heart wants. And as we delight with the Lord, our lives and our desires will align with his, and he is pleased to give us the desires of our heart. Continuing on, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for him to act. Do not worry about evil people who prosper, or fret about their wicked schemes. And then just add to that, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. As intercessors, we need to learn to lean into the Lord, to listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, and to pray and plead for the will of God, not necessarily just what we want. Now, here's one that might bother some people. I hope not, but intercessory prayer tears down strongholds established by the enemy. There's a lot of people, when you start talking about the devil, they get kind of wigged out. And I understand that, but that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about him, because the Bible attests that he's real. And there's something that we need to understand about intercessory prayer that is absolutely vital, especially in this day in which we live, and that is that in intercessory prayer, you and I in Christ are given authority to demolish strongholds, spiritual strongholds. Now, I would ask you, what is a stronghold? Anybody? From a military standpoint, it's a defensible place. So when an enemy wants to overtake some land or some territory, they will establish a stronghold that cannot be beaten, and then they'll move on from there, and establish a stronghold that cannot be beaten and move on from there. Now, here's the thing you need to understand. There are spiritual strongholds. They are defensible points that the enemy sets up in people's lives that they cannot get past because he's taking the territory inch by inch as he moves forward in their lives. And if you have a sin pattern that you cannot break, that you have not been successful in overcoming, the chances are that is a stronghold. If you know people who have patterns of behavior that continue over and over again, they keep going back, like the Bible says, like a dog to its vomit, going back to the old lifestyle and those things, they can't seem to get past that, I guarantee you we are talking about a stronghold in those cases. When someone does not find their identity in Christ, they find their identity in anything else but Jesus Christ. They find their identity in their job. They find their identity in their success. They find their identity in their family. They find their identity in their ethnicity. They find their identity in their gender. Fill in the blank, whatever it happens to be, where people find their identity and it's not Jesus Christ, if that is not addressed through real disciple-making, helping them become a disciple of Jesus Christ, then that identity issue will become a stronghold over time. These are defensible points where the enemy takes territory and does not want to give it back. And so when we meet people who are addicted to drugs, or we meet people who are struggling with their identity, or we meet people that have some other issue going on, and we keep seeing them doing the same things over and over again, guess what? God has given us a tool to destroy that stronghold. The word there is actually demolish, to demolish that stronghold. And it's through intercessory prayer. Listen to what Paul writes here to the Corinthian church. He says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down, again the word there is demolish, the strongholds of human reasoning, and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Somebody say amen. Did you know in Christ, as we intercede, we have that authority. We have that ability. We can tear down strongholds. We can set people free. Why? Because those things are keeping them from really knowing God. And as the stronghold is addressed, now they can come to a knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. Intercessory prayer is more listening than talking. We strive to hear God speaking and then pray accordingly, so then our few words of intercession have great power and authority. Intercessory prayer is informed prayer. We understand what's happening among our brothers and sisters in the congregation. We understand what's happening out in the world. We're paying attention to the news so we know how to pray, not so we can worry. And we also listen to the quiet whisper of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to give you insights into things you could not otherwise have known. And then that is what we begin to pray. I call this prayer intelligence, and we'll talk about that tonight. Intercessory prayer is persistent prayer. Michael and I were talking this week over breakfast about Elijah praying for rain. I don't know if you're familiar with that story, but he's in a very interesting position as he's praying, and he prays hard and earnestly for rain, and he sends his servant to go look, and nothing's happening. The servant comes back and reports, and he prays again more earnestly for rain. He sends the servant, and now there's this little teeny cloud. And the servant comes back and reports it, and he prays earnestly for rain. This keeps going on until finally the cloud grows and the storm breaks out and provides rain for the land. But see, there's this combination of prayer intelligence coming from his servant. He knows what's going on, so he can be praying. And this persistence in prayer. Think about Daniel praying. He prayed and fasted for 21 days before God's answer came to him about his prayer. He prayed day and night for 21 days. That's 3 full weeks. Before the answer came. Intercessory prayer is persistent prayer. And finally, intercessory prayer is rooted not in our work, but in God's character. We've spent a lot of time over the last 12 months talking about the character traits, the attributes of God. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail with them again. The list in the notes, for those of you that have the notes, it's right there. I've itemized them all again for you. But it's really important to understand that these are the traits of our God who answers prayer. This is the God to whom we pray. So the God to whom we pray is infinite. He's without beginning or end. The God to whom we pray is immutable. That means he doesn't change. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. The God to whom we pray, friends, is all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere present at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He is wise. He is faithful. He is good. He is just. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is loving. He is holy. He is glorious. This God to whom we pray is all these things, and all of those character traits come to bear in responding to our prayers.
Are you beginning to see that intercessory prayer is powerful? In fact, we neglect this vital prayer to our own peril. Intercessory prayer is as much about aligning our own hearts as it is about affecting change and blessing in the lives of those for whom we pray. It's directly linked to confession of sin, both personally and corporately. It's a partnership between we as human beings and the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit can help us to intercede even in times when we just simply don't know what to pray for. Intercession is primarily about seeing God's will come to fruition in the lives of those for whom we pray. It's not about our own wish list for them. And it tears down strongholds, places where the enemy has taken root and is able to defend his spiritual conquest. Finally, intercessory prayer is rooted in God's character. So once again, let me ask you, how does your church do with intercessory prayer? What does the intercessory prayer effort of your congregation even look like? Are your people consistently on their knees before the Father on behalf of your neighborhood, your town, your village, your city? Do you have people in your church gathering what I call prayer intelligence so that your congregation can target their prayer efforts on those issues where they're most needed, right there in your own backyard? Our seminar, Launching an Intercessory Prayer Movement in Your Church, has been taught all across the country, and it's had a really good impact. Churches report that among the benefits that they've seen, their leadership teams focus much more on prayer than ever before. Intercession certainly impacts the church's mission, but it also improves every area of the church's ministry. Interested in knowing more? Contact us here at The Minister's Friend, and we'll tell you all about it. You can email us at podcast@johnrkimble.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. In the coming weeks, we have a lot of great interviews for you. We'll be talking with Dr. Peter Chinchalla of NCD America and Andrews University about the natural church development process and how it can help improve your church's health and fruitful ministry. We'll also be talking to my friends and mentors, Tom Johnston and Mike Perkinson, about how the COVID-19 pandemic has forever changed the way we do church and ministry, and how this God-given reset is actually a good thing. We also have a series on disciple-making and some other great things planned. That's all coming up on the Minister's Friend podcast. We are so grateful that you're in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and church leaders just like you lead their congregations well. If you're blessed by this podcast, would you please tell others about it? Your recommendation to friends is the best advertising that we could ever ask for. Please also take a moment and leave us a review on whatever platform you listen. Good reviews and ratings by our audience move us up the charts and enable us to connect with even more people who might be blessed by this ministry. I'm so glad you were with us for today's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimble. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimble.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!